Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, a collective of interviews with top female entrepreneurs from around the globe who've done it their way. These women are disruptors, savvy, courageous, confident, innovative, decisive, unconventional, and humble. Our ladies have proven business models, have taken risks, and have failed to lead to success to follow. Join us as they share their stories, behaviors, habits, mindset, thought processes, and what it is like to be a woman who leads business. And now, here's your host, Amanda Boland.
Hey, what's up, She Did It Her Way listeners? Welcome back to another episode of the She Did It Her Way podcast. My name is Amanda Boland, and I am your host. I am excited to be your host. And today, we've got another incredible woman on the podcast. Her name is Whitney Reynolds. Whitney has her own show called The Whitney Reynolds Show, amongst other ventures that she is working on and has, including her own accessory line, which is pretty fantastic. In this interview that you guys will hear with Whitney and I love how she gets into the mindset and shares her story about how she grew and had this vision from a young child and was able to turn it into a reality. And I think it's extremely inspirational for all of us, including myself out there, to hear this story and know that anything and everything is possible, whatever we dream to be true. So stick around. Coming up next, we've got Whitney Reynolds of The Whitney Reynolds Show.
Well, thank you for having me. I am so pumped to be on. And when I found out about this podcast titled She Did It Her Way, I was like, oh my goodness, that is right up the Whitney alley. So I am pumped to be with you guys.
Yeah, I love it that it's like right up the Whitney's alley. And that just goes into everything that we're going to talk about. But tell our listeners, what is it that Whitney does?
Okay. I am the host and owner of The Whitney Reynolds Show, which is an inspirational talk show, but it's not like when we hear inspiration, we go right to thinking, oh, religious or stuff like that. It really is like tough topics that all of us face every day, or sometime around the year, we will face one of these topics. But we always, even though we're doing tough interviews and sometimes it's really messy interviews, we always deliver the light at the end of the tunnel, at the end of the show, and more ways that people can get involved, or if they are battling one of the issues we talked about, how they can get help. And so I started this talk show around 6 years ago. And back when I started it, I feel like life is you're evolving into who you really are called to be. And so as a little girl, I always knew I wanted to be a talk show host and make a difference with my voice. But in the last 3 years, since we made the transition to PBS, we are able to do that. We have lasered focus and are making the biggest impact we can through our topics. So it is really, I am so happy to sign off emails or sign off whenever we're at events of this is my show, this is my baby, and this is the impact we are making here in the world.
Awesome. Okay. I want to talk about, so now you've got the Whitney Reynolds Show, and there are tons of things that I know that I was looking on your website that you do under that, but you said that you always wanted to be a talk show host from when you were younger and you started this 6 years ago. Talk us, like, paint us a picture about what did that look like for Whitney when 6 years ago she wanted to start the show. I ask that because I think there are a lot of things that our listeners, including myself, want to do, but it's so hard to see what it's going to look like down the line that it can either be motivating or unmotivating at the time and place.
Yeah. So as a little girl, I always knew this was my vision, which is really crazy to say because I was born in a really small town in Oklahoma. So the ironic thing is, here's this little country bumpkin saying, I want to be Jenny Jones or I want to be Oprah. And so people are kind of like, yeah, cute kid, pigtails, freckles. Yeah, she'll probably be in Oklahoma for the rest of her life. And for me, it was all about progression. Like, how do I get there? So in high school, I mean, it started as early as even middle school, but in high school, I won the chance to go to New York on this marketing trip through my school. I did some fundraising for it, but I knew if I had the opportunity to be in New York, which in Oklahoma, being from a small town and a family that worked really hard for what we had, I knew I had to make the most connections I could as a high schooler in New York. So I made signs for all the morning shows because at this point I knew I wanted to be a talk show host, but I didn't know what time slot, and I loved morning shows. And so I made all these signs. I did it very politically correct for every show. I wanted to be, if I was at Good Morning America, I wanted to be Charlie Gibson. If I was at the Today Show, I wanted to be Katie Kirk. But I made sure that I put their picture and my picture on these signs. And I set out on this trail to do that when I was in New York. So as luck would have it, we happened to be in an elevator with a cameraman from Good Morning America, and he asked us to come down there the next morning. And so here I am, a little 15-year-old, staying, and I woke up my sponsor that morning. I said, "Are you ready to go?" And she said, "Oh no, here's 20, take a cab." So I did, as a 15-year-old from
Oh my
Ohio,
gosh, that is
somehow.
so crazy. She's like
Yes.
15 years old. Here you go, take a cab.
In New York City,
I
which my
love it.
mom is still a little disgruntled at this mother, but this mother is still great. She's a very, very big part of my story. So she did that. I'm wearing this obnoxious zebra cowboy hat, which I still have, and I still have a picture of this day that happened from my 35 millimeter camera. So I go, and this intern will not let me in. He said, "Nope, you're not on the guest list." I said, "Oh, come on. Yes, I am. I met this guy in an elevator." A really realistic story, huh? And he said, no. And luckily, the cameraman saw this obnoxious zebra hat, my poster, and said, "Oh, come on in." So at
Oh
the
my
end of
gosh.
that taping, he had the intern come over and apologize to me. And I started chatting with him, and I said, "Yeah, I met this guy in an elevator." And he said, "Well, where are you from? I hear this accent." I said, "I'm from Oklahoma." And he said, "Oh, I'm from Texas." He goes, "I go to Baylor University, and they have a New York program." I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "Do you have email?" Which I didn't at the time, because this was right when email was coming out, I feel like. Maybe my mom just didn't let me have it up until this point. But I end up talking with him through email throughout my course of high school. And sure enough, I got accepted into Baylor, was getting ready to graduate in 3 years. He was now a very high up person at Good Morning America, hand walked my resume to the right people, and I got my first big girl internship at Good Morning America at the age of 20, lived in Brooklyn, and
Oh
it
my.
was that's when the dream really started happening. Because here, this whole time, I always knew I was going to do it. In high school, I anchored the local newscast too for our high school, but this was actually my first time to say, "This is how I'm doing it, and this is my plan." And I think in the process, we always have to adapt our plans. Because, like I said, I didn't know what time slot. I didn't know necessarily what it was going to look like, what network. But I feel like you have to always keep your eye on the prize and know where you're going towards. So then, after I got done with Good Morning America, I moved back to Texas. And outside of Dallas, I landed my first on-air TV spot, which was a morning anchor at K10 News. I would get there at 2 a.m., go on air at 5,
Oh my
and
gosh.
did that for about a year and a half, and then moved to Chicago. So it was always about just getting to the next spot, but being happy. And that's one thing that I really preach, because there's a lot of times in my life I wish I could go back to those moments, especially when I first moved to Chicago. I was so hard on myself. Like, why haven't you arrived yesterday, Whitney? Why don't you do this? And I wish I could go back and tell young Whitney, settle down. It's all going to work out. You have this fire in you, and you got to trust that that fire will take you to where you're going and enjoy the ride along the way.
Okay, so once you moved to Chicago, what did you do once you got here then?
Yeah, so I moved to Chicago, and I thought I was going to be an on-air TV personality again as a newscaster. And the position, right around the time I moved here, it was when the economy was not doing so well. It got furloughed, and then the position got cut. So here I am in this city, leaving what a lot of people would call a dream job for a 22-year-old, and was here in the city where I did not know one person. And keep in mind, I thought Texas was cold. So now I'm not only like sad about the job, but I am freezing my little tuchus off in the winter. So I really just had to regroup and think, like, okay, how do we do this? And to be quite honest, my talk show came out of an idea to get my resume out there more. And what happened is I created this online talk show that would keep me relevant called Weekends with Whitney back in the day. And it was, I would interview anyone that would talk to me. And sure enough, I found out that I really loved this and that I was kind of doing what I always had wanted to do. So then the TV job came back around, and I said, "You know what? I think I'm gonna keep doing this talk show thing. And you know, of course, my parents thought I was crazy because they're like, wait, you got insurance benefits. You have this with all the, you know, doing it the TV route, doing it through corporate, you know, the networks. And I decided to keep trekking along with this little talk show idea. So, in order to make my money to pay rent and to eat, even though I was living in basically a box and eating very little at that time, I decided to do real estate videos to supplement my income. And so I did that, and I was in
What
a
are real
house as
estate videos?
well, it was my own concept again. It was going in and helping realtors sell houses. Now I think there's programs where they just can upload their own pictures and kind of do their own voiceovers. You'll see this at times through different agents here in the city. But back in the day, it was one of the first, I would say it was kind of like the start of real estate videos. I just would stand, I would be my own photographer, stand in front of my camera, talk about what house we were at. And then I would film it and do voiceovers over talking about the features and the price and all that kind of jazz. And that was really one of the first, I would say, I mean, at the time, I've now seen a couple of other people do it. And like I said, I think there's programs now where people just put pictures in and they can create their own. But back in the day, it was kind of, it was a hot commodity. So that supplemented my income. And then I went to this one house in the Gold Coast one morning, and I was filming, and the person that owned it accidentally left something at home, had to come back, and I introduced myself to her, and she goes, "Huh, you are doing real estate videos. You should maybe do something more." And I said, "Well, I actually do. I had the show called Weekends with Whitney." And she worked for NBC, and to this day, I call her my TV angel
Oh my
because
gosh.
she introduced me to the right people here in Chicago, brought me in. I was still, like I said, very poor at the time, borrowed a suit, oversized heels, walked my little happy self into NBC and pitched my show, and they picked it up. So that's really
Oh my
how it got
gosh.
started here in Chicago, and it was on NBC nonstop for a few years. But as luck would have it, Whitney always wants a little bit more, and I really wanted to be on a main channel with a main focus. And whenever we moved to PBS, that's when the name kicked over to the Whitney Reynolds Show, which I actually did not pick because I feel still embarrassed to this day whenever I'm like, I host the Whitney Reynolds Show, and I'm Whitney. And you know, of course, I'm like, if they don't know the show, they automatically feel bad because they felt like they should have known you to begin, you know. And so it's a little, but I'm still getting used to that. But we decided to really laser focus our topics and do. We know we live in a world that needs a lot of love and a lot of help, and I feel like we're able to do that through our show.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so to that you mentioned two points that I just find really fascinating is your experience with the G Good Morning America, and then you have your TV angel is just about sometimes you're going to be in life, you're going to be in situations that you don't even know the possibility of it, but it's like being in the right time at the right place with the right people.
It is, that is, and I think being open, like having yourself and your heart be open that these scenarios can work out, they might not. Two other examples of that in my life is one was meeting my husband. A lot of my girlfriends gave me a hard time because my husband and I met because he offered to hook in my computer cord. Well, as some of my friends said, you couldn't hook in your own computer cord, Whitney? Well, of course I can, but you got to be open to the situation and keep your eyes open and say, oh, there he is being a gentleman. This is wonderful. And I think sometimes we're so either trying to hustle to the next place so fast, or we're trying to be bigger than we are, that I could have been mean to that lady and said, I have a talk show. You should know it. And da 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 da. But coming from a place of humbleness, saying, actually, I have this idea that's starting, I think that gets us so much farther in life.
Humility is a huge key player. And I love that you said in life we want to be bigger than we are and we want to hustle to the next step. When did you experience that, either those two situations independently or at the same time in your life when you were getting started with the Whitney Reynolds show and beginning your journey?
Well, I got to a point, and I don't know when this happened, and it could just be called growing up, that where for a long time I felt like I had to be known and I had to be out and I had to be going, 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 going. And now I'm really at peace and comfortable with where I'm at. That doesn't mean I'm not growing. I mean, we're taking our show national next year, so I guess you could
Oh my
say we're
gosh.
probably making the biggest move we've made. But with that, I'm in a really happy spot in life where I'm very like, I can walk into a room and not demand attention because I'm more comfortable with who I am as a person and in a, as a host. And I feel like that could just be the recipe of getting older or getting to a place where your career takes off and there's no need to announce where you are because you know where you're at personally.
Oh my gosh, that's such good advice. That, and it's such great insight too to that. Well, so tell us then, I mean, like anyone could go to your site and read about Whitney Reynolds and say, oh my gosh, this girl's got her own show and go just be absolutely amazed, which they should be because it's fantastic. But I think people, and including myself, I fall short of this at times, is that we often forget the years of roller coaster or the years of quote unquote darkness that really challenge our belief and faith and whatever it is and really push us. What was the toughest part of your journey so far?
I would have to say I am my own worst enemy because there is a constant like want to be more and want to be bigger and want to. And I think half of that is level setting of where you have been and where you are going and understanding the stops along the way. My hardest point probably to date was when I first moved to Chicago because, in the comfort of Oklahoma, that small town, and in the comfort of Baylor, which Baylor was an amazing school to me, where I had the greatest, I guess what you could say, like sisters out there at that school. And then even New York, I'd always been very, very known. And it wasn't that I necessarily like everyone knew me necessarily by name, but every situation I'd always kind of been in the circle. And when I moved here, I did not know one person. So for the first time, I had to really shake it up and be okay with walking into an event and not knowing someone, or going and seeing that these people have known each other since high school and they are, they've been, or that these newscasters have been on TV for 15 plus years. Like, I had to be okay with that. And I think that whenever I first moved here, I was a little hard on myself. I wish in that season of life I could go back and say, oh my goodness, this is going to be the one time that you're like okay with like watching TV and having nothing to do. Because now to watch TV, I'm like, oh, I feel like I should be doing that or that, and, I just wish I could go back in that season of my life and tell me to slow down and not to worry because it's all going to work out.
What's been the most memorable or rewarding moment that you felt like you've arrived, or you just it was like weight off the shoulder?
Getting moved to prime time was huge because when I first moved to PBS, I was on at 5 a.m. and my poor little husband would wake up with me. And it was at that point, I didn't even care about the DVR. I wanted to see it live and make sure that my lips were moving with my audio and make sure that everything was going on point with that. And so we would wake up at 5 a.m. and watch it. And what was crazy is when we moved to PBS, we didn't have a guarantee of a season. We were really taking a risk and just jumping. I don't want to say blindly, but it was basically taking our show from one network to another and hoping it works out. And as a business plan, that's not really the most ideal. But I knew if we got this opportunity that we were going to do it and we were going to shake as many hands as we could and leave as many stores that would let us hang up our handmade or our printed papers that said when to watch, we would. And that's what we did. So we did that. My first season of PBS, we got 5 a.m., which was
My
not the most
gosh.
ideal time slot. But the next year, we got Saturdays at noon. And then the next year, we then got 6:30 prime time on Monday night. And that's what we've now been going on 2 years doing. And, part of that is being strategic with the channel we chose. We've gone with Lakeshore PBS because they offer us endless possibilities with the show and are true support of the Whitney Reynolds show. So I'm forever grateful that we found Lakeshore PBS. And then now that we're doing this whole push for national, it is an exciting year for the show.
That is, I have so, yeah, no, that's fantastic. And I have, like just when you start your own show and you've grown and you've gotten these slots and now you're going to take it from Chicago into national with PBS, do you, like, from a business standpoint, do you house like the, and this might be a naive question, I'm just really blind at the mm-hmm. how it works, but do you contract your own TV crew and like marketing crew, or how, like, what does that look like from the back end of it?
Yeah. So that is probably one of the most stressful, but most rewarding things we get to do is we still own every aspect of it. So from production to PR, marketing. Now, when you align yourself with a great station like we have, they do a lot for us. But at the end of the day, you have to be your own advocate. So we are the ones that are pushing, and we are the ones that are, you know, with PBS, there's different ways that you can try to push out national, and finding the station that we did is really just the cherry on top for us, because they have been working alongside of our show. And that's what, you know, even for your listeners, no matter what business they're in, people that you align with, be very careful, because it is part of your brand and you have to trust that gut instinct. And when we moved over to Lakeshore, it was just like a divine, almost like perfect union of our show with them. And now this rollout of reaching more markets.
Okay. So then from your standpoint, what you're saying is Whitney Reynolds is managing everything from production to PR to
everything. Yeah. I mean, I have a great team. My supervising producer, I could not live without her. My PR rep, I mean, she is constantly, last year, CS Magazine did a great spread on the show and they said, Whitney Reynolds might be Chicago's next queen of talk. I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better page in that magazine. And, you know, that was my PR rep's doing. She gets out there. She makes sure that, you know, we're getting covered. Part of that is too, I have alliances and I weigh in with different other, you know, outside of PBS, I weigh in with Who's with Whitney with the Tribune Content Agency. And then I do Whitney's Women, a segment on iHeartRadio. So that really helps with Kiss FM 95.5 and 93.9. And that is like, we get to talk about our show on those things. And so that is really great. Chicago has not only just taken me in, but they have literally wrapped their arms around me and just pushed me up to the next level.
Oh my gosh, that is fantastic. So how do you, with everything going on, let's talk about how you keep it all together. As that was coming out of my mouth, I'm like, oh, I don't know if this question's kind of like Magoo, but I think it's just, I find it fascinating how everyone has their own way with balancing, juggling, whatever word you want to call it, the way that they go about their day. So how do you keep track of everything that's going on? What's your secret sauce?
Well, I religiously work out, and that I get so much clarity on my morning runs that I kind of am able to come home and understand my day a little bit more. Or, and even last night, and I know this sounds completely crazy, but I own a jewelry business too.
Yeah, and we need to talk about that too.
One of the issues was a shipping thing. And no joke, I woke up this morning with the solution to it, and I dreamed about it, and I came up with the solution in my dream. And my husband's like, did that really happen overnight? I'm like, yes. And so I think it's, you know, finding, you know, your priorities. Like, one priority for me, and it will be, is a family. Like, I want to be the best talk show host I can for the rest of my life. But I also really want to be a good wife and a future good mom. I want to be successful in all the different things that I want in my life. And so I have found that work-life balance, which is really such a cliche phrase, is crucial. And so there are things that I have been able to do where maybe I hustle more on certain days to be able to relax by 6:30 with my husband. You know, keeping list is a huge thing for me, because I can actually check those off, and then I can have peace of mind with it once it's done. And then I usually put things on my calendar way in advance, so if I do need to push it back, it always delivers before It's due. And so that's like we work a season ahead with our show. So what we just wrapped taping is for the spring of next year,
Oh my
and what we're getting
gosh.
ready to go tape is for the fall. So, with that, everything has been a turnkey in my business where it has to be that way. So I've kind of been able to do that in my life. I mean, sometimes I drive my friends and family nuts because I'm planning out Easter of 2016, and they're like, "Wait, did you just ask if you can cook a lamb for Easter?" And I'm like, "What? Yes, I did." And so I am a big planner, but I think that just kind of goes with the territory, and I've learned that works really well for me.
Absolutely. Okay. No, that's great. And you, I know, I want to get into, I mean, since you mentioned it, let's talk about it. How did you have an accessory line too? I mean, what inspired that?
Yeah, so I have Accessory Mercado by Whitney Reynolds, and what it was is I like part of my business is speaking, doing a little bit of motivational speaking or emceeing, and I was given some space that whenever I would do this of like, hey, you can have a booth, and do you have a book? And I did this one event that was like kind of a light bulb went off. I was with another TV host, and she was just selling the wazoo out of her book. I mean, just woo. She was just selling like crazy her book. And do I want to write a book? Oh, yeah, maybe one day, but not right now. I'm 29 years old. So I thought, how is there a way that I can empower women, maybe help with something that I am good at and be able to add to my brand another like kind of revenue stream? And so with that, I saw that there was a bunch of different things that could work out, but I met these two fabulous ladies that had Accessory Mercado, and they styled me for the show, and I had created some conversations over the years with them, and they had told me that they were expanding their families and maybe going to sell the business. And I said, my husband and I met with them, and we thought this is great. So they taught us the ropes and how to do it, and we keep basically, actually, everything on our site is under $50. And it is styles that compare to all sorts of different brands when it comes to accessories. But we stick just to jewelry now. I think, as the career goes on, and, maybe we have a kid or two, maybe we do like some accessories for little kids, like, but right now it's jewelry. And I love it. I'm wearing my wifey necklace right now, which is a top seller. And we actually just put this necklace inside Glow Out Salon. So that's really fun. And so now we're kind of venturing out and going into a few businesses and having our jewelry. But for the most part, it's all online. And we do these crazy thing called happy hours on Friday where you can find percentages off. It's not every Friday, so you got to watch our social media. But if you go to accessorymercado.com, you can always find like basically people are shocked because you can get three amazing pieces for like $70. And it is really, they are great. So this holiday season, people should definitely check it out. And it's such a fun way that, and husbands can thank me too, but it's a great way that women can look great, feel confident, and not break the bank.
That is fantastic. I just love that you have your own jewelry line as
Well,
well.
my favorite question, because I have a buyer that I work very closely with in New York and one in LA, and it cracks me up whenever I do some of these events because people are like, wow, you made this. Like, as if I'm like chiseling out the stones myself. And, that's the thing. It's like, no, I picked this and I am make sure that we have the great, like great pieces that I would like. And luckily my style's been pretty spot on and since we've owned it for over a year. But it just cracks me up when we meet people and they think I like create this piece, like I'm chiseling out stone in my house. But I love it. It's been such I never thought I would be some type of like I don't want to say fashion and like guru because I'm not, but I'm loving this because I get to see women like tag me up on Instagram, like, oh, Whitney, I'm wearing your sparkler sass necklace. And really, to be honest, some of the best part is naming the darn necklaces. They are so much fun. Like, watch out, friends, because I tend to name them after you.
That is so fun though. Like what a create another creative way for you to get out and do it and to be able to just like do another business.
Yeah, it goes hand in hand. And like I said, I was given these booths and I don't have a desire to write a book right now. And we have viewers and I always want to encourage our viewers. And so that's what we were doing at these tables. But it just kind of picked it up to the next level of like, now we can actually, like, a woman says, I love your necklace on the show. Oh, yeah, well, here it is. And here's your 25% off coupon too for watching. So it's really it goes really hand in hand. I think that's why we see so many celebrities doing side projects like this with makeup or skincare or whatever they do, because it's just an extra revenue stream to go along with their name. And quite frankly, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's super, super savvy too.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, so a couple last questions. Well, give us an insight as to what a typical day looks like for you.
Well, so I get asked that quite a bit too, and it depends on what day and what season of life of like the flow of the show I'm in. So right now, we just wrapped our last taping for the 2015 year. So right now, I'm doing a ton of business. So I'm working with sponsorships for next year. I'm working with my salespeople. I'm working with my PR team. Like, we're getting ready to launch all of our new stuff for next year. So that is kind of the flow I'm in right now. But a week ago, we were in production meetings. We were in getting ready to tape our final episode last Wednesday. And then we did our final Tribune taping on Friday. And so it just kind of depends on what season we're in. We're getting ready to go into the editing season and then back into taping. And when we're taping, I have found, going back to one of the questions you asked me earlier, like how you maintain basically yourself and all this, is I am more protective of myself during, depending on what season I'm in for the show. Because when I'm in taping, if I'm not in the right mindset for that, then it shows on air and it might not come out till the next fall. But then I'm kicking myself that I didn't take enough personal time in the spring to make sure I was on point for that taping.
Yeah, so how do you keep yourself accountable to that, or is it just, I mean, how do you decide what you say yes to and what you say no to?
My husband's been a huge help with that because I used to MC a ton, and now we limit it to about 20 per year, which is still a lot, but we just are very basically, we're very protective of when we're going out and what we're doing because there are a million great causes in Chicago and we want to support all of them, but we're just having to be very strategic because we don't want to burn the candle on both ends. If we do, ultimately, a lot suffers from that, not just my business, but our show, my favorite thing is getting the emails from viewers that want to seek the positive change. And so that, I always want to create a show that always is doing that. So if that suffers, we want to prohibit that. So that's why we're just a little bit more careful with our time and what we're giving our time to.
I love it. That's absolutely for sure. I have nothing else to say to that because it's so true. Okay, two last questions. One is how if you what would you if you could tell our audience one thing, what would it be about what you've learned?
I would say that because I have met a ton of ladies that want to just be in TV, and what I've done is I've worked with them because it's not all about the glitz and glam. And what I would really encourage people to do is to find what makes their soul sing. And if that is like all these different things that could make your soul sing, I would say level set what makes you happy. And sometimes, we see what's either on social media or what's in the news as what the world said is a beautiful life. And I would challenge that because I think a beautiful life is one that we, and not to sound too religious, but alongside God can create for ourselves when we truly find our calling. And that doesn't mean your neighbor's calling. It doesn't mean your sister's calling. It is finding what makes your heart sing. And I say you go after that passionately and you will be successful.
Such great advice. Okay, last question is it could be a news source, it can be a book, it can be a magazine that really inspires you to keep going.
I get a ton of energy off of Instagram quotes, and I just like I could go and double tap that stuff all day long. That's like inspirational. News wise, I am really loving the way Lester Holt is delivering nightly news with such passion and also showing that they're everything, not that it's going to be okay, but he's highlighting stories that are really amazing in the fact of like the true and honest, but also the hope in the stories. So I think Nightly News has done a great job with Lester Holt. And I have been, I mean, I have literally been having appointment television with Nightly News to kind of see his, you know, I love his son's a friend of mine, but Lester, the way he's doing Nightly News has been absolutely, I don't want to say life-changing, but it is showing that someone can do news and you don't feel like the world's going to blow up tomorrow, and yet you're getting the facts. And I really commend Nightly News for the job they've been doing. So I think between my inspirational quotes and then Nightly News and really protecting your inner circle. So who is your best friend? Who is your husband? Who is working with you? Because that energy feeds on all of us. And so you just got to protect that inner circle and create good energy for everyone that's around you. And you're part of that too. That's the thing is, I think sometimes we always want good energy around us, but sometimes we can be the bad energy bunnies. And so we got to look at our circle and also be one of those givers of light.
Amen. I'm going to end it on that note because that is such a fantastic tip. And it's so true that sometimes we have to look not externally, but also inwardly at ourselves and what are we bringing to the table and our energy.
Absolutely.
So, Whitney, thank you so much for your time and energy today. I'm excited. I know our listeners are going to love it. So thank you so much.
Yay. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the She Did It Her Way podcast. Did you like this episode? Head on over to iTunes.com to leave us a rating and a review. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget to check out SheDidItHerWayPodcast.com, where you can subscribe to our email list so you can receive the inside scoop on our latest episode released each Monday. Now, do us a favor and go make it a great week.